morning. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Bear with me. How many of you really love Jesus? How many of you have told him today already? If not, I hope you do. Because he's the reason you're here. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you're not good enough. Never let them tell you that you cannot worship God and bring Him glory, because you can. Let go of any sin, any shame, any doubt that you have. God will take it all away. It's the devil telling you that you can't do that. Just let it go. It's a lesson I've learned. I've had to learn for a long time. This song was put before me for a reason. And I just want you to worship with me this morning. don't let man make you feel like you can't praise God, because you can. You just have to let him in and let him take control, not you. I don't want any of you to live like that, because it's miserable. I've been there and I've done it. You never want to do it again. If you don't know Jesus, please get to know him. It's the best gift you'll ever have. Thank you, Jesus. I really love you, Jesus. Tell Jesus you love him today. Tell him you love him. Say, Jesus, I love you.
Your presence. Some of us been running on empty, but Protection and security, but you also may need to shout and give him glory, because when his presence is in our lives, it changes every day our needs. We are not the same every day. I wish we were. If we could get to that level that's good and stay there, that would be wonderful. And we would just need a certain presence. But God knows our needs. I want to read this scripture to you. God knows our needs. He knows what we need before we even can speak it. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my days. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will not shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know me. Search me, God, and know me. Aren't you glad that God's presence is different for the needs that you are walking through? Aren't you glad that His presence are there with you when you're good and when you're going through hardships and when you're bad? God's presence is there. But you know what? We have a choice to acknowledge that presence. We have a choice to access that presence. So this morning, let's just in our own way, allow His presence to minister to us right now. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for you are worthy of all praise. And we can't even begin to count the wonderful things you've done in our lives. Lord, we are so thankful for your place in our lives. We're so thankful for the miracles that have taken place. We're so thankful, Lord, for salvation, for giving us your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful that we don't have to live in darkness, that you are the light and we can seek you and you will bring light to our situations. Father, we come to you lifting up hands in acknowledgement, Lord, that you are God. Lord, we worship you. We worship you today. Your presence, Lord. Father, we seek your presence. We seek your presence, not the things in which you can do for us, but we seek your presence of walking with you, of talking with you, of being known by you, Father. We just praise you. We just praise you. We praise you, Father. In your car down the road, and most of us spend a pile of time in our cars, you can feel God's presence. You can pray, you can say, you know, Lord, be with me today. You can call on His name. You can bring your petitions before Him, and you can worship Him driving down the road, and you can feel His presence right where you are. When you're laying in bed sick, you're all alone, nobody in the house except you, you can feel His presence. You can call on His name and say, Lord, just encompass me with your presence. Allow me, Lord, to feel you in strength, Lord. Give me peace. Those things are what we sing about this morning. The wonderful presence of God. When you walk into this church this morning, with like believers. You get together with your family and you can feel His presence. You can feel His presence because we're joining together, lifting up our voices, lifting up our hands in worship to the one who gave us life. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I always like to think about the presence of God like a famous person, but not a famous person we know. But anybody ever been to see Elvis movie? Elvis the movie? I know most of us are way too young to remember Elvis, but Elvis was a very big, famous person. And when he walked into the room or on the stage, people would actually faint. They would actually faint, scream, pass out, you know, want to just touch him. And he was just Elvis Presley. He could just sing well and dance. It's just like a lot of guys, when they go to see a football game, you know, one of these big ones at a big stadium. What are they called? NFL games? You know. When they go to that NFL game, they are just all pumped. Even though, do you see how far away you are from these people? A long ways away. It might be raining. It might be snowing. But you're going to sit there and you're going to be all that because you're a little bit close to those players that you love to watch because they're famous players. But they don't have anything on the presence of the Lord. You know, those NFL players, they can't change your life. They can't give you eternity. They can't heal your body. They're not going to pay your bills. So when you get goosebumps around Julia Roberts or whoever, who is some more famous people? It's not anything compared to the presence of God. So remember that. Remember that His presence is far beyond any presence of anyone else. What He stands for, what He's done for us, is far beyond what anybody can do for you. So good to have you today, CSIC family. And if you're a guest with us, we hope you'll stop by our table out in the foyer, meet Brian and Harp, and allow them to give you a little gift and encourage you this morning. We ask that you fill out a card, let us know who you are. We want to touch base with you. And also, it's our time to give. Another way to worship the Lord. Tithes and offerings. Yes, I love those claps. So at this time, while you can walk your tithes and offerings up to the front and place them in the buckets. At this time, we're going to have Corey Balance to share with us. And he's one of our newest members on our praise team. So welcome, Corey Balance.
Good morning, church. So before we do this song, I just want to tell you guys just a little story. Is that cool? I mean, I was going to do it anyway, but I'm asking out of, you know, courtesy, praise God. So I have a two-year-old niece, right? My niece, her name is Corey, too. Right? You know, I was like, my sister, Taste, we love that. But whenever my niece is hanging with Uncle CJ, like, she has to have her tablet, she has to have her pacifier, and she's got to have her juice. If I am missing any of the three, she will lose her mind. And so last night, last night she was in my room, and I had everything. I had her pacifier, I had her tablet, and I had her juice. But she was still crying. And I was like, Corey, what's wrong? She was like, Papa. I said, Corey, it's behind you. She turned around, she see her pacifier. She's still whining. Corey, what's wrong? Tablet. I don't know why she's lazy, because she could easily just say tablet instead of tablet. But I said, Corey, it's beside you. She looked beside her. She see the tablet. The juice I was missing, but that's not the point. But the thing was, everything that she needed was already in the room. And I feel like sometimes we're like that with God, where we carry so much and we bring so much with us into the presence of God, when what he's telling us is that everything that you need is already in the room. The Bible tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty meaning freedom. So if freedom is present, that means I can't be shackled down to my shame. If freedom is present, I can't be shackled down to the mistakes of my past. If freedom is present, I can't be shackled down to those things that try to hold over me. When freedom is present, I can't be shackled down to what other people have to say about me. Because whatever I need is in the room. Do you guys believe that this morning? That whatever you need, whatever you are standing in need of, it is already in the presence of God. I can hear the Lord saying, I'm aware, and I've heard your prayer, no matter how you feel, know that I am still in control.
Whatever you need.
can we all, I just challenge you all, just close your eyes. And I want you to see that very thing that you have been believing God for. I don't know if it's been for a day, for a week, for months, for years. And I want you to see whatever it is that you are standing in need of today, right in front of you in the hands of our Father. And I encourage you to reach out and grab whatever it is, because the truth is, it is in the room. Whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need. He is not a God who fails. He is not a God who makes mistakes. Whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need, whatever you need, is whatever you need is still in the room. It's in the room. Sing whatever you need.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, that whatever we need, it's right here in this room. Amen. Why? Because His presence is in this room. In case you haven't figured it out yet, we're going to talk about the presence of God today. Come on. Come on. Just throw an elbow to your neighbor and say, we're talking about presence today. Come on. Wake them up. We're talking about presence. Hallelujah. So glad to see you. Welcome, online audience. We're glad that you're with us today. Keep us in prayer, man. Still, 182 nations of the earth watching us on television this morning. Come on, let's welcome them. Come on, let's make some noise and welcome. Hallelujah. 182 nations of the earth, countries. And because of that, guess what? We received an invitation to go to one of those countries. I'll be jumping on an airplane on February the 27th and flying to Pakistan to preach the gospel. Amen? Amen? God has connections that always mean something. They always mean something. I said, well, what are you looking for? I was talking to them this week about scheduling and what have you. Well, you need to preach Thursday and Friday and to pastors, and then on Saturday, hold on now, you'll preach to probably 70,000 people in attendance. 70,000 people. It's really no more than here, right? Amen. And I appreciate the opportunity to preach the gospel in Pakistan. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking this past week, I just have to shake myself once in a while and say, wait a minute. I looked at Pastor Mike's schedule. He sent me his schedule by phone just a few days ago, and I was putting it on my calendar. And I looked at it, and I thought, wow, wait a minute now. Out of Ahoskie, that little hamlet in northeastern North Carolina is going to have representation. Mexico City, March 28th through April the 4th, Pastor Mike Blood. Come on. Kenya, Africa, June 25th to July the 4th. So what if I missed the fireworks, right? God bring the fireworks to Kenya. Uganda, July 31 to August the 7th. The Ivory Coast, West African nation in September. Finish up 2023 with a trip to Togo, November 12th through the 21st. Amen. From Ahoskie, North Carolina. Come on. But you know what? The nations of the earth, guess what? You say, well, why are you talking about the nations of the earth? Well, the Word of God talks about the nations of the earth. Amen. Preaching that gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we need to be mindful of the nations. So glad that today we have missionaries that will speak to us later. I was thinking, you know, Lord, what are you saying to us? I stood on this platform about a year ago, and I just casually said, you know, how much would it cost you to build that church? And he said, you know, $32,000. And I just stepped back up to the mic and I said, hey, how would y'all like to have a carpenter shop church in Romania? And God laid it on the heart of one person to just hit that thing large. And I have pictures in my pocket today. I wish I had them on the screen for you, maybe next Sunday. That church is under construction, almost finished. Listen, you can't build a good building to store your lawnmower in America for $32,000. You can't do it. But we've got a church in Romania, and they're almost finished. So today, last Sunday, we had missionaries from where? Romania. Today, we have missionaries from where? Romania. God, are you saying something to us about Romania? I guess so. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, for opportunities that are ours to sow in finance, to sow in prayer, to sow in provision, God, for you to take the message of the gospel, the good news, the evangelion to the ends of this earth. Who would have ever thought that you could use churches like ours to touch places like that? In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, praise him one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presence of God. The presence of God. I learned a lot about presence this past week. Amen. I had the joy of spending time with my West Coast family in Seattle. People say, well, Pastor, how was your trip? Man, you don't want to know, okay? You don't want to know. It's one of the worst trips I've had in a long, long time. You know, you get to your destination, hey, we're descending on Seattle. Staff prepare for landing. Then all of a sudden, the plane goes, I said, Joy, we're going up. We're going up. And we circled around and around. Finally, they gave us the announcement. We are not going to land in Seattle, Washington, okay? So how do you feel when you've already flown 6 hours and then they tell you you're going to Oregon, okay? So what are you going to do in Oregon? You're going to sit on a plane for 4 hours, okay? That's what you're going to do in Oregon. I don't care how tired you are. Want a little package of peanuts and another bottle of water? No, okay? I don't want that. So anyway, we just sat there and for a while and then flew back into Seattle. And man, I don't think I've ever ridden a roller coaster any rougher than landing that plane in Seattle. That was rough. I'm telling you, I don't mean to startle you with details, but when you hear things like this, that's not good. When your neighbor right beside you has no bag and she just grabbed her scarf and created something to catch her vomit in. And then she changed her clothes right in front of us because she soaked herself. I was like, don't look to the left, okay? Just don't look. And she changed her clothes. She was completely wet from her own vomit. We finally got on the ground. And then we went to see our grandchildren who were all sick, okay? I mean, everybody in the household is sick. Cassandra's sick. Caleb is sick. It started in Caleb. Levi gets sick. Little Cleo gets sick. And I learned something from those guys being sick, especially Cleo. Thank you, Cleo, for teaching me something. Cleo did this. Cleo clung to her mama, okay? She held on to her mama for life. She's a year old. She don't understand why 101 or 102 is going on in her body. She don't understand how to cope with this. So she's clinging. She's clinging to mama. Holding on to mama. She's finicky, she's foolish, but she's forever in her mama's, help me here, presence. Somebody say presence. She's forever in her mama's presence. And as I thought about that on the way back home, I thought, you know what? God, I think you're speaking to me. And I began to I began to inquire of the Lord about presence. And it was continuous. Her desire for her mama. I mean, she squeezed the blouse of her mama. And nothing could have pulled her away. And everywhere her mama went, her lamb was sure to go. Come on, y'all ever heard Mary had a little lamb? Everywhere Cassandra went, the lamb was sure to go. Everywhere. And it was so challenging. But, you know, still we got to visit our family. Once again, Josh, Cassandra, Alexi, Caleb, Levi, Cleo. Then Cassandra's got a little bump. Number five is on the way, okay? Number five. I thank you, Lord. You're going to give us a dozen. Thank God. A dozen grandkids. Wonderful thing. Zach, you need to start down the journey, okay? Amen? Applications are in the foyer. Good. All right. This Cleo had this continuous desire for the presence of her mama. That's what the Lord called for on the part of the high priest. In the Old Testament, when you read in the book of Leviticus, the Old Testament was the temple was the representation of God's presence. Now, it's so foreign to you today, because where's the temple of God today? Right here. Know you not, Paul said, that your temple, your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. So today we have this, and listen, man, God's been wrecking me in my studies. He's been, and I'm going to share it with you, okay, next week. I'm just going to keep on and on until we exhaust what I feel like the Lord is saying. But I begin to look at this issue of the presence of God in the Old Covenant. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, all the way through. God gives you the picture of what it was to be in his presence. To be in his presence was to be where? In the temple. Because in the old covenant, God had a temple for his people. But in the new covenant, God has a people for his temple. That's why your temple's important. We're going to talk about this next week. Your temple's important. What are you putting in God's house? What are you putting in God's house? What are the ears, the windows of your soul? What are you receiving to come in to God's house? We'll talk about that next week. But here was a place where the representation of God's presence was in that temple. It was the place of his, here we go, manifest presence. It was the place where God dwelled. Leviticus chapter 6, I'm looking at verses 12 and 13. Look at what it says here. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. So you got it down to where you come out here once a week and you felt like you've done God a favor by showing up. But this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where God lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. Can I make the worship team? He lives within. I'm not pitchy. My heart. Come on. Our body is the temple. So here in the old covenant, it was like this. You can't let this fire go out. It must not go out. Every morning, somebody say every morning. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire, burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. That's the fuel. And the fire, verse 13, must be kept burning on the altar continuously. I see Cleo holding on, man, holding on to mama's blouse. Continuous. It must not go out. The Bible has much to say about God's presence. Teaches us about God's attributes. How many of y'all know what attributes are? They're character traits. Attributes. Did you know that God has two categories? Let's go to Bible college for a moment. God has two categories. Somebody say two. God has attributes that you can have. For the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience. You know, you can have those. You can be kind. You can love. You can love with the love of God. You can be unconditional in your love. You can have peace. You can either bring peace to your home or chaos. Well, she did all right on Monday, but Tuesday, man, she cut loose on me. Okay, well, maybe she didn't have that attribute that day. Okay. Maybe you didn't have that attribute. Maybe you weren't patient. You can have those, but there's a set of attributes you ain't having. Three of them. God has three attributes that are God's and God's alone, and you can't have them. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care how many times you come. I don't care how many ministries you support. You cannot have these attributes, the first of which is what? The first of which is omniscience. Omniscience is a combination of two words. Omni means what? All. Science means what? Knowledge. It is omniscience. Omniscience, it is God's all-knowing. The second of which of those attributes is what? Omnipotence. What does it mean to be potent? It means to be what? Powerful. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And then the third is omnipresence. God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere present. Pastor Joy just quoted from a passage of scripture in Psalm 139 this morning. David said, if I go to the depths, you're there. No matter where I go, you're there. God, you're where? Everywhere. God is everywhere. He's always going to be everywhere. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. That's his word. He will not violate his word. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Am I only a God nearby? Look at what Jeremiah prophesies, the weeping prophet. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Am I only up close to you and not far away? Who can hide in secret places so I can't see them, God says? You think you're going to hide anywhere and I not see you? You think you're going to cover up this and I not know about it, the Lord says? He says, do not I feel heaven and earth? Somebody say, he's everywhere. David inquired of the Lord with questions. David said in Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8, Pastor Joy quoted it a moment ago, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He was talking about what? His omnipresence. The omnipresence of the Lord. He's everywhere present. God's in Walmart. Do you know that? That's why half of the church is in there this morning. There's people that go to Carpenter Shop Church that are at Walmart right now. They didn't go, I better go, it's raining. I better go see if they got any eggs. Okay, help yourself. I went to Walmart one Sunday morning during church time just to see if I'd bump into anybody from Carpenter Shop, and I did, seven people. They looked at me like, what are you doing here? I said, same question back to you. Same question back to you, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to church. I just came out here to see who was shopping. Okay, I tried Food Lion one Sunday, same thing. Bumped into somebody. Good morning, Pastor. I'm not going to make it today. I said, I see that. God is in Food Lion. You can do a little search, the circumference of this city. What's on the outskirts? Well, we got Walmart over there. You got to go to Beechwood Country Club. He's out there. Go to Napoli's in Murfreesboro. God's there. You can go anywhere you want to go, and God is there in his omnipresence. Now, his omnipresence is not the same as his manifest presence. Now, you can make God's manifest presence happen in Walmart. How many of you have ever done that? Well, let me just pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, and God visits you right there in Walmart. How many of y'all done that before? Did you know that that's what he wants you doing? Bringing his manifest presence to Walmart. Man, God really moves in Sam's Club. You ought to go down there, okay? I mean, really, that's what God wants. He wants his manifest presence. And guess what? You are responsible. You are responsible to carry his manifest presence. Why? Because I already told you where he lived. Where? In your heart. Man, the church makes me sick. We got this thing reduced down to one guy who preaches the message on Sunday and hopes that people will come forth and shake his hand, baptize him in water, put your name on the roll, then you can live like hell the rest of your life. That is not the gospel. I hope I've offended somebody right then, because that means if that's the way you're living, that means you are far from heaven, my friend, because that's not the gospel. The last gospel I ever studied and read transformed the lives of people. Come on, help me here, church. The last gospel I read about transformed people, changed their lives. What I used to do, I don't do anymore. Why? Because the gospel changed me. That's my life. I was talking to my son yesterday about some of the old days. I don't know how we even got on, but we were riding down the road talking about some of the old days. And we just started, I said, man, I just wonder how I made it this far. I've been many a night, woo, 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 pull over. Let me see your license, sir. I just take that long neck and set it in the floor. Made a mistake one night and tipped it over. And beer's dripping out the side of the door. And I'm just thinking, Lord, please don't let him smell that natural light. Please, please, Lord. But listen, when I came to Jesus, you say, Pastor, man, I love to hear you preach, but I wish you wouldn't talk like this. Why? Because I'm just on a mission to see your life transformed. Is that okay? I'm on a mission to see your life, my life, the lives of hundreds and hundreds of people transformed by the power of the gospel. Come on now. Thank you, Lord, that he's changing lives. Amen. Why? Because of his presence. Because of his presence. You say, well, man, don't start naming stuff. I still smoke. Well, I don't believe cigarettes will send you to hell. I don't. Make you smell like you live there, but they won't send you there. Okay? Because I still got stuff in my life that the Holy Spirit is doing what? Come on, help me here. He's laying his finger on Wallace. I want this. Okay, God, I got you. I hear you. God's laying his finger on things in my life that he wants me to surrender. And this is what I've discovered. The more I surrender, the more I feel his, oh, the more I feel his presence. Y'all getting this, aren't you? The more I surrender, the more I feel his presence. The more I keep the fire hot, the more I feel his presence. And God loves you. He really does. He really does. The worship team just was off the hook today. Come on. I really love you, Lord. I really do. I really love. Don't you sit here. I agree with you, Holly. Don't you sit here and sit in your shame and say, well, you know, I'm not worthy. Guess what? You're not worthy. But he's worthy of your praise because he's the one that brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. The good news that you can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm feeling this. I think I'm going to go on another trip this week. The Bible teaches us clearly about this manifest presence. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3 is the account of God calling Moses to his divine purpose. Every one of you sitting in this room right now have a divine purpose. Joel, I was praying for you this morning, man. I was praying for you and Missy. He's in the batter's box, man, just waiting it out. God, what do you want me to do? Joel, you're in the right place, man. What do you want me to do, Lord? You've done everything that you can do. Now you watch God do what only he can do. Come on. So I was praying for you early this morning when I woke up. I woke up and the Holy Spirit said, Joel. I said, what about Joel? He said, pray for Joel. So I prayed for Joel. And I pray for you. I pray for every one of you. Because you know what? God has a divine assignment. Somebody say divine assignment. God has a divine assignment with your name on it. He does. A divine assignment with your name on it. He may have called you to be a school teacher. If that's what he's called you to do, then teach for the glory of God. He may have called you to be a plumber, an electrician, or manage a company or a business. If that's what God's called you to do, then do it with everything that is in you for the glory of God. Okay? Just because you have a calling on your life don't mean that you're going to be standing on a platform preaching to the nations of the earth with a microphone in your hand. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Whatever you put your hands to, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give him praise. here in the book of Exodus. Now, Moses was doing what he was called to do. What was he called to do? He was called to work for his father-in-law. You don't want to be called to work for your father-in-law, okay? Okay. Now, if Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, that's a humbling task, isn't it? The priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord manifested. Come on. The angel of the Lord, not just omnipresent, manifest present, appeared to him in the flames of the fire. Where was God at? In the flames. Okay? Where was God at that particular moment? In the flames. From within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it just did not burn up. So Moses thought, man, if this bush is on fire, I got to go over and see what's causing this, all this dry brush just to still be there. And so he goes over, and when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him to from within the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. He said, do not come any closer. Take off your Nikes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I'm the God of your father. Hey, listen, God has Moses' attention. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Some people stay away from church. You know why? Because they're afraid to have an encounter with God. I'm afraid to go back there because every time I do, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I feel like I got something else God wants. Congratulations, we hit the target. All right? All right. Congratulations, we hit the target. You get in God's presence. Listen, beloved, you get in God's presence and where God's word is taught, you're never going to be the same again. I'm just telling you, you preach the word of God and you will see results. I listened to Pastor Bernie last week twice. I listened once by myself and I listened a second time when Pastor Joy was running down the road with me. I listened to him. He cried, I cried. He punted, I punted. Okay? And I heard the man speak his heart, his passion for the things of God, shared a little bit of his story. And it caused me to think about my own story. You see, God's always up to something. He's helping you to write a story about your life and your life that you've come to Christ now. You've given your life to Christ, and everything in the next chapter should be different. If you came to Christ, if you shook the pastor's hand, baptized in the water, and nothing's the same, you didn't have an experience. Let that sink in for a second. You didn't have an experience. I had a pastor tell me, several weeks ago we were talking, and he said, Pastor Wallace, I got to make a statement. I want to know how you feel about it. I said, go ahead. He said, I respect your opinion, but he said, I don't know if half of my church is saved or not. I said, well, talk to me about that. And he started telling me things. I said, oh. He said, what are you thinking? I said, they haven't had an experience. Because everybody that I read about in the Bible that had an experience, somebody say experience. With God, their lives were changed. Okay? Y'all let that sink in for a little bit. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because God has his eye on you. Okay? He's always had his eye on you. And he's always going to have his eye on you. And whether you fail him or you follow after him, he's still going to have his eye on you. And you better be thankful that he does. Amen? God has his eye on you. And he never takes his eye off of you. Amen? He's omniscient, and he came to a point in your life where he was manifest, and you came to salvation. And that's just the beginning. That's all. That's just the beginning. Okay? God comes to Moses here. God knew Moses was a shepherd boy on the backside working for his father-in-law. God knew Moses was on the backside of the desert. He knew it. And God had his eye on him, and God had an experience with him. He says, listen, verse 7, I want you to know something. God says, I've seen the misery of your people. in Egypt. They're in slavery. I've heard them crying out because of slave drivers. I'm concerned about all their suffering. And verse 8, I've come down to rescue them from the hand. I bet Moses is going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You're going to bring our people out, God, having no idea you're going to be involved in it. Okay? Think about it. He's getting excited. I'm going to bring your people. I'm concerned about them. I'm going to bring them out of it. In fact, I'm going to bring them out of that land, and I'm going to take them, Moses, into a good and a spacious land, the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites crying out in their suffering has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Oh, verse number 10. So now, go. Wait a minute. Anybody got a water hose? I'm going to turn this fire out. Okay, shh. No. God, you're not. No. God, wait. You're not calling me. See, some people stay away from church because they really don't want any directives of the Lord being given into their life. You could go to a church where there's no presence. You could go to a church where nothing happens. Nobody's healed, nobody's saved, nobody's delivered, nobody's set free. You could go to one of those, but guess what? They're cold and dark and indifferent. People just sit there and look at their watch. Because why? Because we get out at 12. Not necessarily. Could be 3. Could be 2 or 1. It depends on what God is doing. Come on. Okay? So God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring the people, Israelites, out of Egypt. So God's presence is manifested. It's manifested on flames of fire, in a bush that's on fire, yet not consumed. And this is life-changing for Moses. It's transformational. He gets his divine assignment from Yahweh. He experiences the manifest presence of God, which results in him leading 2 million-plus people. Big church, first church, pastored 2 million people. Okay, mine wasn't like that. I had one family. Okay, 2 million people. It also happened in the life of Solomon. Who was Solomon? King David's son. He's called by God to do what? Build the temple of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1-6. Notice the manifest what? Presence of God. Notice it. No, he got the building built. Hey, guys, let's join around here and join hands for prayer. Yahweh, we just want to thank you for blessing us to build this house. Thank you, God, for the blueprints. Thank you for the plans. Thank you for the workers. Thank you for all of the great materials we got at a good price at Lowe's. Thank you for all of that. And the Bible says when Solomon finished praying, all he said was, amen. What happened? Fire comes down, okay? Well, don't ask him to pray, man. Why? Because he brings the juice. Come on. He brings the juice. Fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering and the sacrifices. And what happened? And the glory of the Lord, the glory of Yahweh, filled the temple so much that verse 2 says the priest could not even enter the temple of the Lord. Why? Because the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple. Notice that. Keep that in your mind. They knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he's good. His love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon, hold on to this now. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle. Mmm. 22,000. Somebody say, that's the barbecue. Not quite. Not quite. You know why? So the king and all the people dedicated it because they also gave an additional 120,000 sheep and goats. 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. Priests took their positions, verse 6. Levites with their Lord's musical instruments. Okay? They took their positions, because all of them are important in the part of worship. Don't ever think, well, you know what, I don't understand this. I got to go out there and practice. You know why? Because you're an integral part of what God is doing in this room today. No. In this room today and where else? 182 nations of the earth. Does that make you feel any more responsible? 182 countries are going to listen to you, because we don't cut our music off of the live stream. Our music stays. A lot of ministries, you know what they do? They slice it and you go straight to the preacher. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We're not going to do that. What we're going to do is improve what happens up here, so that when the nations listen, guess what they have? Quality. Quality. We're going to improve it. So yes, it's a sacrifice. But the sacrifice is worth it, because God wants me to do what? Give my best. And I give my best. I give you, Lord, 122,000 sheep and goats. That's all I have. The priests take their positions. The Bible says, the word of God says, his love endures forever. Opposite the Levites, the priests were blowing their trumpets, and all of the Israelites were doing what? 2 million people standing up in the presence of God. I peeped over my shoulder this morning in worship. Half our people were sitting down. Well, we've been standing 20 minutes. Well, what would you do if you were getting in the line to see State and Carolina play yesterday? I used to camp out for them at the door 24 hours ahead of ticket time. Why? Because I wanted to see those players. Okay. I was on campus when Monty Tao was there. Okay. I was on campus when Dave Thompson was there. You remember those names? I graduated from the Wolfpack. I worked on security. I found a way that I didn't have to camp out. Get a job on security. That way you get first dibs on tickets. Mm-hmm. I worked on security. And I never had to sleep out for tickets anymore. They stood. The Bible says they stood in the presence of the Lord. Look at this. The manifest presence of God has filled the temple. The priests are there. The Levites are there. Rico's playing the Hammond. Come on. The presence of God is in the house. Ezra, the scribe, has recorded this for us. Who's the author of this book? Ezra. Ezra has recorded this, that the priests cannot even enter the place. They fall down on their faces. They cried out to the Lord, "You're good, Lord. You're good. God, you're good." They just said the same thing over and over and over again. "You're good, Lord. You're good." They couldn't get anything else out of their mouth. "Your love endures forever. You're good, God. You're good." This is another account of the manifest presence of God. Begin with verse 1. Solomon finished praying. Fire. Okay? It's more than a simple, God is everywhere. It's more than that. This is not how God is experienced at Walmart or Food Lion. God is there. But this is not how he's experienced there. This is the glory of God. This is the presence of God. This is what has been called by the church as the what? The Shekinah glory of God. Anybody ever heard that word? Shekinah. Shekinah. Sound like you're speaking in tongues, don't it? The Shekinah glory of God. Look from Genesis to Revelation. It's not in the Bible. The word Shekinah is not in the Bible. It's a Hebrew word used by the rabbis in their writings. And it simply means God is here. You say, well, why are you talking about Shekinah glory if it ain't in the Bible? Rapture's not in the Bible either. But the concept is, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up! That's the rapture. One day on this earth, the rapture's going to take place. And only the transformed, only the blood-bought, only the blood-washed are going to exit. Y'all hear me now. I know what I'm talking about. This ain't my first rodeo. The rapture's going to take place, and then on earth there will be chaos. But no problem. We've got somebody who's going to come on the scene and say, peace, 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 peace. What's his name? Antichrist. Okay? Antichrist is coming on the earth. You're already getting it set up. Man, you ought to be out on the West Coast where I was last week. They're farther ahead than we are. They got an Amazon grocery store over there, hear me. You got an Amazon grocery store over there, more than one. Nobody works there. Let's let this wrap around your mind for just a second. Nobody works there. The stores are fully stocked. Robots put food on the shelf. There's no cashier. You walk in, you get what you want, you pay. And as soon as you cross the threshold of that Amazon store, guess what? They know you're there because you signed up to shop there and they got your number. There is no theft there. You know why? Because if it passed through that bar, chick-up, 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 you paid for it. You're not going to stick anything in your pocket and take it out of that store. Because it's already set up. West Coast, Amazon store. Nobody present but you who's shopping. How many people do they need to work there? None. You can sit in the office somewhere from your house and work today. What are you doing? I'm working. Where are you working? Amazon store. Can I just ask y'all a question? Is this the first time some of y'all heard this? Anybody? Okay. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Nobody is in the building except those who are purchasing. Well, man, what are they going to do? Folks stealing stuff. Nobody's going to steal anything. Because as soon as you walked across, you signed up to be their shopper, just like you sign up for an app on your phone. You signed up to be their shopper. So as soon as you walked in, click, click, Joy's here. Joy can fill the basket up. And everything that she walks to that cashier, even if it's in her pocketbook and she didn't tell nobody, is scanned. And as soon as she gets done, she just walks out the door and immediately a receipt comes to her phone. You spent $271.63. Thank you for shopping Amazon. I mean, how many of y'all said, look, I ain't going out there. They're shooting folks at Walmart. I'm shopping from where? Home. The system is already in place. It's already in place. It's already being set. Antichrist won't have no problem. Peace, peace, he says. He steps on the scene. It's already. I remember when it started, at least in my day. I remember when North Carolina was a 919 and a 704. How many of y'all know the area codes? Then we got a 919, a 704, a 336, and a 252. You can buy a hat that says, I'm in the 252. Okay? You can get a bumper sticker that says, hey, welcome to the 252. You know what? Why were they doing that? Shrinking it down to have more what? Control. Ride these roads in North Carolina. Look at all these crews on the side digging ditches. You say, what in the world is that? I don't know. It's 5G. It's a part of the end time story. It's coming to pass so that they can track you. You don't think they don't track you? Talk about something at the table today, and 30 minutes after you swallow your last piece of pizza, they'll be trying to sell you that very thing on Facebook. It's already in place. He doesn't have anything to do except step to the thing and say, peace, peace. He's the answer. They think he's the answer. Man, chaos on the earth. Chaos on the earth. God is everywhere. He is. But God wants you and I to be stewards of his manifest presence. See, some of y'all aren't getting this. You got to go home. You got to listen to the sermon again. You're going to say, "What? You understand what Pastor's talking about?" I don't know. Somebody said, that scares me. It don't scare me. It brings me peace. To know that, thank God, many, many years ago, 19 years old, God got a hold of my churchianity and showed me what Christianity was all about. I ain't scared. I'm ready. I'm ready, man. And I'm watching this great story, Pastor Mike, unfold in front of my eye. I never thought I would have been alive on the day and the hour when some of this stuff is taking place, but it's happening right in front of us. Right in front of us. You better get yourself in order. You better get your house in order. Because listen, man, this thing is happening exponentially. 2 million people paid attention to the Shekinah glory. 2 million people on the outside. The Bible says, what are they doing? Standing. 1 or 2 million people doing standing. They're paying attention to the Shekinah glory of God up on the mountain. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. By day, the Bible says, the Lord goes ahead of them what? With a pillar of a what? A cloud. By night, he goes by a pillar of what? Fire. So they know how to follow him. Moses is the leader, and he follows the cloud by day and the fire by night. And listen, fire, God has always answered in fire. In the book of Zechariah, he prophesied. God says, you will know that it is me because I will be like a wall of fire around you, and my glory will be within the midst of you. Why are we talking about the manifestation of God's presence? Because you and I need to hunger for the manifestation of God's presence in our lives, in our families, in our churches, on this earth. Because nothing, let me tell you something, nothing will change this planet. Nothing will change this community. Nothing will change your family. Nothing will change you like the manifest presence of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. You can't change yourself. You've tried. You've been through so many self-helps, it ain't funny. You can't help yourself. Only God can help you. God has never stopped manifesting himself. Even as you transition to the New Testament, the book of Acts, it's a beautiful narrative of God releasing his spirit, releasing his presence. You know the story. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's had a meal of some herons and some cornbread on the beach, feeding the disciples. And he takes them out to the vicinity of a little place called Bethany. Bethany is where who lived? Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Jesus used to hang out there because he don't have a place to live. It's like going from Ahoskie to Powellsville is all it is. And he takes them out to the vicinity of Bethany because that's a regular path for Jesus. He stayed at their house. He knew that place. He takes them out there, and the Bible says he lifts up his hands and he says, listen, he goes into heaven. He's ascended to the Father where he is today. Luke 24, 49. He says before he goes, he says, listen, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. You see, it was wonderful when he walked the earth. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the leper. It was wonderful that he created the first buffet with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But guess what? He's leaving. And he says, it's expedient that I go, because if I don't go, the Comforter cannot come. And he leaves. And when he leaves, he tells them, he said, listen, I'm going to go to send you what my Father has promised. But you stay. You stay in the city until you have been clothed with power, dunamis, dynamics from on high. The Bible says Jesus lifted up his hands and he ascended. 120, he was talking to 500 people, but 120 of them listened to him. And they went and hung out in the upper room. How would you like to be stuck in a room 10 days with the same people? How would you like to be stuck in the upper room, 120 people in the room for 10 days, and you look and behold your aunt's there? Oh, my God, don't tell me she's here. People that you don't like, people that you'd rather not hang around. 120 people were in the upper room 10 days. Something happens. 10 days, the wind starts blowing. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. When the day of Pentecost, I don't want to go to that church because they speak in tongues. I don't want to go to church if they don't. Okay? When the day of Pentecost came, Pentecost means 50. 50 days after Passover. They were all together in one place, and suddenly, verse 2, suddenly the sound, not a real wind, the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Somebody say, manifest presence. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Was it fire? No, no fire. What did it look like? Fire, okay. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest, here's a key word, on each of them. We were just in the Old Testament a few moments ago, and the fire of God came down and just rested upon what? The whole sacrifice, the sacrificial area. And God was saying to Solomon, hey, partner, I'm pleased with what you've done. I'm pleased to have my presence here. Don't forget this. God says, Solomon, I'm pleased to have my presence here. You know what he was saying on the day of Pentecost? Each. Brian, Harp, Zach, Joy, Hersey, Bonnie, Mike. Right on down the line. He's saying, I'm pleased that my presence dwell in each of you. Know ye not that your body is what? The temple. That's right. Man, God, you reckon me. I'm pleased. So the Bible says that he gives us an indication of what he was pleased with in the Old Testament. The fire of God comes down. He lets the fire come down on the day of Pentecost because he was saying the same thing. I'm pleased with my temple. Verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's another whole teaching. He's still releasing, friends, his presence today. He's still manifesting his power today. I think it's important to prepare you, because I believe that 23, I believe it with all my heart. I believe that 23 is a tremendous year of exponential growth and increase for this church in Ahoskie, North Carolina. I believe that the better days are coming for us. I believe that there's going to be a day coming up in this year when people will be standing on the outside of the door and the ushers will have to say, no, I'm sorry, we are full. Pastor's talking about a second service, but right now we are filled to capacity. Why? Because the fire of God is going to visit this church. I believe that the manifest presence of God is going to visit this church. He's still releasing his power today. We need to be prepared for what God is doing. Not just in Carpenter Shop. I'm going to tell you, every church that submits itself to God, his rule, his reign, his authority, his blessing, his provision, his anointing, can get ready. Because I believe the prophets are right. I believe the year of increase and blessing and exponential growth for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is 2023. I believe God's going to do it. It happened in Azusa Street, 1906. Well, that's a little before my time. Well, listen, you believe what I just told you that happened thousands of years ago. Why can't God do it again? 1906, he did. 1906, April the 9th, 1906. Seven men were in a building. Bonnie Bray Street. Los Angeles, California. I've been there. Pastor Joy and I went and stood by the sign, Azusa Street. Took a picture. Guess what? People from all over the world were coming to visit Azusa Street. Why Azusa Street? Because God poured out his Spirit on Azusa Street. The Pentecostal church was born in America, reborn in America, on the fires of Azusa Street, 1906 to 1909. There were regular demonstrations of God's presence and God's power, not at all times, not in all services, but God moved powerfully and God moved frequently. It is a historic series of revival meetings that took place in L.A., led by an African-American preacher who had very little education. His name was William J. Seymour. They said at times you could go by and William Seymour was just on his face with his head in a tomato crate, just praying in the language of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. For hours he would pray in the Holy Spirit. God, pour out your Spirit upon revival. Give us revival, Lord. Pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit again, like God, like you did on the day of Pentecost. God, pour out your Spirit. Seven men were in that place one night, April the 9th, 1906, and history tells us that the power of God came in that room and knocked all seven of those men flat on the ground. They were motionless. They could not move because of the manifest presence of God. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in tongues and shout the praises of God. And the news about those seven guys on Bonnie Bray Street spread all over the city so that people began to come down to Bonnie Bray and see what is going on. And historians tell us that as people would drive up in there to Bonnie Bray Street, get out of their car, they put one foot on the pavement and boom, they're gone. They fell out under the power of God because His presence was manifested on Azusa Street. Wow. The Shekinah presence of God. That word is not found in the Bible but means this by Jewish scholars. To settle in, to rest, to manifest Shekinah glory. God settled in on Azusa Street. There was recorded in the history books, a cloud about 2 feet tall would come in the room. The cloud would just dance in the room and settle right down there by the altar. And William Seymour would reach out and touch it, Corey. He'd put his hand in it because he wanted to, you know, Lord, can I touch it? It was a cloud of God's presence. And when you would touch it, you'd be gone. You'd be gone. I've seen a cloud in this church before. Several years ago, I had several pastors to help me deal with a man who was demon-possessed. And the day we came into sanctuary, there was a huge cloud. And we prayed for that man, and I saw his body lift off the floor and dance across this platform. No flesh on his body was touching this carpet. And you could feel a sense of evil in the room. And it took us 45 minutes, Pastor Mike, to get that devil out of that man. 45 minutes of throwing up foam, of hollering and screaming, and all kinds of manifestations to take place. But we saw that man set free, and he's serving the Lord today. The cloud would come in, not a demonic cloud, but the cloud of God's presence would come into Azusa Street. And everybody who tried to touch it just went out in the power of God. It was recorded on one occasion that fire came down from above and went down the chimney of this little place where they were meeting. And people got frantic and called the fire department. Woo, 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 woo. Trucks came out. And the firemen said, there's nothing here. And they said, well, don't you see it? We saw it. Fire is in this building. LA Times newspapers recorded that the fire responded to a fire that did not exist. But several onlookers experienced the fire of God. Okay? And we're busy in our churches just checking the box. Yeah, I went. I was there. I dropped in my $10. I got a good job. I make $1,000 a week, but I just give 10. Okay. Well, congratulations. You just cursed your own finances. Yeah, I was there. I asked yeah, just this past week. I said, so tell me where you go to church. And he told me, I said, what's the pastor's name? He said, oh, man, God. He couldn't say a word. So you know him that well, huh? He couldn't tell me the pastor's name. So you go to church? Oh, yeah, I go to church. What's the pastor's name? He couldn't tell me. Guess what? He doesn't go. He doesn't go. This is America today. Rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I got everything I need, man. I don't need anything to get into my world. This is my world. You ever heard anybody say that to you? Man, it's your world. You're in charge of it. There was another lady by the name of Mariah Woodworth Eder. Just Google her. You ain't got to believe me. Just Google her. I had to study about her in Bible college. Mariah Woodworth Eder. Pastor Mike, she had a tent that would seat 8,000 people. A woman. Woman ain't supposed to preach. Shut up. 1880s to 1920, she had a tent that seated 8,000 people. It was reported that angelic beings were regularly seen over top of her tent. Well, what's wrong with that? Angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. That's what you believe. I was a minister in here the other day. He was talking to me, and he said, Pastor, he said, what's going on in your life? I said, man, I just feel revival. I really do. I said, I've been here 31 years. I look out here every Sunday. There's empty pews. He said, can I just be honest with you? Tears came down his face. He said, look over here in the corner behind that drum kit. He said, I saw an angel standing behind those drums. Their hands were lifted. He began to weep. He said, I can't even tell you what he told me. But he said, I can tell you, man, you better get ready. God's going to visit your church. Okay? God's going to visit your church. The man was almost speechless. He couldn't even get the words out of his mouth, tears flowing down his face. He said, I saw angelic beings standing in your church. Well, that's wonderful. That's exciting. Mary Woodworth Edder moved from city to city and saw the manifest presence of God fall in her meetings. Oh, there were hecklers. There were people who poked fun. A group of 50 people came out to cause a problem one night. They said, oh, we're going out there. We're going to shut this woman down. 50 of them. As soon as they stepped under the gospel tent, all 50 of them, pow, down on the floor. They stayed on the floor there for a long time and got up. Every one of them confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God and received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Sinners cried out for mercy. This is what she wrote on one occasion. The church was full of the glory of God. It was like a mist. People fell out of their seats all over the church as they were overpowered by the glory of God. It's in a book called Signs and Wonders. Maria Woodworth Edder. Other people reported that in Maria Woodworth Edder's meetings, the power of God was so present, people could hardly ever even stand to their feet. Some were slain in the spirit for hours, laying on the ground. One documented case where a person was struck by the power of God, stayed on the floor of that tent for 8 consecutive hours before they ever opened their eyes. I've seen God move in this church. I have. I've seen revival over here that has blessed my soul. I remember one day a nurse came here for the first time. She worked at the hospital. And Pastor Joy and I remember there was somebody at the altar here that fell out under the power of God. And she ran to the front of the church just as fast as she could. And she said, I can help. I'm a nurse. I don't need anything here. She said, well, she just fell out. I said, she's going to be fine. Just give her a while. See? The manifest power of God. The manifest presence of God. You say, well, man, do you really believe all that? Well, look at the Bible. Acts chapter 2, people were filled. Acts chapter 2, fire came down. Acts chapter 2, wind's blowing. No real wind, sound of a wind. Fire lit on their heads. This is the beginning of the presence of God manifested. This was the fulfillment of what Jesus had told them to look for. Tarry, wait. Wait for the promised Holy Spirit. Wait for the presence. Wait for the gift. Wait for the empowerment of the Spirit of God. I must tell you, beloved, presence is important. His presence, yes, is at Walmart today, but not like that. Now, you can see His presence manifested if you, the carrier of the Holy Spirit, engage someone in prayer. I've prayed for a lot of people in food line. Had a lady catch me just a few weeks ago in the aisle of food line, and she said, Pastor Phillips! I said, yes. She said, would you help me here a minute? I said, sure. She had a little bottle of olive oil. She said, would you please pray over this oil? She said, I'm not buying it to cook with. I said, sure. She held it out. I laid my hand on that bottle of oil. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone she anoints, God, I pray will be healed. I pray, God, that you would manifest your power as she anoints people who are sick and make them whole. Well, Pastor, I think you're going a little too far. You're in the wrong church then. I believe God is going to pour out His Spirit upon this church. I know you'll have some people that just want to come and see it. Just this past week, I preached a revival on the West Coast. And God moved. Pastor Joy can tell you, man, God moved by His power. I asked the pastor, I said, what are you looking for in a revival? He said, man, I want people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. I said, well, I just preach what God gave me, and we'll just believe God to fill people with the Holy Spirit. And He did. People were filled. They already spoke in tongues because there was 40 nations represented. I didn't know what some of them spoke. But God was pouring out His Spirit. You know how it is on the field when you pray for people and somebody else has to tell you, man, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know y'all all speak in tongues. But I prayed for this one girl specifically. And she came up to the altar and I went over to her and there were everybody else who was praying for people was busy. And I said, so what do you believe in God for? She said, well, not what you said. What had I said? I had said, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come. And she said, this is what she said, I don't want that. Okay? That's not offensive to me. It's concerning to me, but I certainly didn't want to offend her. She said, I'm here at the altar for prayer, but that's not what I want. Okay, you can live your entire life and never speak in tongues. You still go to heaven and walk on streets of gold. Well, why are tongues so important, Pastor Wallace? Because it allows you to pray in a language you've never learned. It allows you to, like one guy said to me, he said, well, to me it's like this. You're on your way to California, got your best pair of tennis shoes on, and you struck out from North Carolina and decided you're going to go to California walking. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like somebody said, hey, you want a ticket? Tell me where you want to fly out of. Okay? I'll get you there faster. See, the Pentecostal church has wrecked the Pentecostal movement in so many ways. We've run more people out the door than we've ever drawn because of stupidity. Okay? Foolish things. Guess what? Who's the pastor of this church? I am, right? I'm responsible. If foolishness happens, it's up to who? Me. That's my responsibility. You don't have to carry that on your life. It's my responsibility that if I see foolishness, if I see craziness, I look at these guys. Why do you think these guys are standing on the side of this wall over here? Because if something needs to happen and somebody needs to go boom, we'll get them out of here. Okay? We'll do that. Because I'm not going to have foolishness happening here. But I do want the power of God. And anytime you have the power of God, you're going to have some strange fire show up. Okay? Read about the Pensacola revival in Florida that started on a Father's Day and went for years. They had foolish things to happen, but they had a whole team of security people that handled those nitwits who came in there just to cause trouble. Okay? That's my responsibility. That's why you should be praying for me every day. Okay? Every day. God's presence, God's power. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. I'm getting ready to quit. Paul tells Timothy, his young son in the faith, he's preparing him for the ministry. And he says to him, mark this. If I was reading my Bible and it said, mark this, I think I'd read it again, don't you? But mark this. Now, I want you to think about the America that you live in right now. This was said in the first century by Paul the Apostle. Now we're in the 21st. He said, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. People will be lovers of themselves. They love themselves so much that they downloaded a filter to make themselves look three times better than they really do. And when you look at the picture, what do you say? Filtered. Come on, guys, wise up. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful. People will be proud, abusive, disobedient to parents. People will be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. You can't even watch TV at night. Have you been injured in an accident? Call Lowell the Hammer Stanley. Yeah, he's only going to charge you 70%. That's the truth. But we live in a slanderous country. Did you ever work in Camp Lejeune when you were in the military? You know, people are always searching for ways to slander someone else. People will be without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Think nothing about it, man. Hey, yeah, we're going off. And I love to go off. I can't say nothing. I just got back. I'm not criticizing you for going off. My wife and I sat down with our calendar yesterday. My calendar is full for 2023. There's ministry on there. There's play on there. There's relax on there. I'm all for play. I'm all for relax. But what do you do when you're not off play and you're not off relaxing? You should have yourself planted down in the church that God has placed you in. And you should be doing everything that you can to make that church the most effective church in that community that have ever seen. Amen? Then in verse 5 it says, they'll have a form of godliness but deny the power. They look Christian. They have a form of godliness. They say the blessing at the restaurant when the pastor walks in, okay? The church is struggling today. Here we are post-COVID. I know this is going to hurt your feelings because it hurts mine. I just read it last week. I can tell you the Barnabas ministry, I've never seen the response like we've had in the last couple of years. I pull out my calendar. The Barnabas House is full, 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 full. Those pastors are weary, weary, weary. And when God laid that on my heart years ago, I thought, you know, I don't know if I can do this. My pastor told me, Wallace, I appreciate your heart, but you'll never pay for it. You'll go broke trying to have a place for preachers to rest. I found it to be the exact opposite. God always provides. And preachers from all over the globe have come and stayed at the Barnabas House. Since COVID-19, I said all that to say this, 20,000, somebody say 20,000. 20,000 ministers have left the post of preaching the gospel. In America alone, since COVID-19, 4,000 churches have shut their doors. You say, I can't believe that. Why not? Two of Minnehaha shut down during COVID. Ahoskie Methodist Church closed the doors. Ahoskie Presbyterian Church closed their doors. 4,000 churches in the United States shut their doors since COVID. And guess what? There's going to be more. Restaurants are closing. Companies are shutting down. Businesses are going out. Churches are closing their doors. But guess what? I'm not closing the doors. I'm reveling up. I'm setting up. I'm raising the standard. I'm saying, God, thank you for doing more than I ever thought you could do. We're the church of Ephesians 3:20. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. God's going to do it. A stranger just walked in here. Somebody go help this guy. Wait, somebody go in the back there. A stranger just walked in the door. It's nice to have an illustration while you're preaching on the presence of God. Just go out there and see him. The presence of God. We need revival. We need his presence. Just this past week, I saw a vivid example of the power of presence, Cleo held that blouse like, I will never let this go. It's continual. Like the book of Leviticus says, put a fire on that, put a log on that fire. Don't let it go out. That's what God said. High priest, don't let the fire go out. What I'm saying to you today, church, is get the fire and don't let it go out, please. Because when you learn how to entertain the presence of God, stop entertaining yourself. I don't like that song. It's not, the song's not for you, okay? We're never going to do a song on this stage that we did for you, okay? Well, I don't like who wrote it. I don't care who wrote it, okay? Don't complain. Don't complain. Well, I just don't like that style of music. Well, give us 30 minutes and you can walk in and get the Bible, okay? Some people do that. Walk in late, leave early, okay? You're not fooling us, okay? The fire on the altar must be kept burning. I have a question for you this morning, and it's a quite simple question. Let me cover this first. Is there anybody in this room that will say, Pastor, I know you didn't preach on salvation today, but man, I'm sitting here and the glory of God has been knocking on my heart's door. Boom, 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 boom. Your heart's beating a little normal. You think, no, your blood pressure's not up. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And my heart is beating right now. And I know that I need to take an inventory and I need to say, hey, I'm not where I need to be. And I've done that. And Pastor, I just want you to pray for me because I want to give my life to Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Can I just see your hand right quick? I'm not going to embarrass you. Come on, just throw your hand up. Anybody? I give you just a moment. God's dealing with my heart. How about that, Pastor? God's dealing with me and my heart. Just raise your hand right quick. I'm not going to embarrass you. I give you my word. I'm not going to call you out. Just between you and God. Just raise your hand up right quick. Come on, I know God's dealing with somebody. Anybody at all? I'm looking. Just throw it up right quick. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. I'm not going to embarrass you. God's dealing with my heart today. All right, God bless you. God bless you. God sees your hand. I saw it. Anybody else? See, what if I hadn't waited? Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the back. Anybody else? God's dealing my heart, Pastor. Come on, there's a half a dozen of you already. Anybody else? God's dealing with my heart, Pastor. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for touching the hearts of those who acknowledged, Lord, you're doing something in this whole heart of mine. And I acknowledge that. Would you meet them where they are? You're faithful, Lord. Your word says that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross that they might be saved, that they might be washed in the blood, that their sins might be forgiven. You already done that. You gave your life. We receive that afresh and anew for those who raised their hands this morning, afresh and anew, relationship with Jesus Christ. We give you praise and honor for it. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, come on, give the Lord praise for six individuals, raising my hand. Six people, raise their hand. My question for you is, do you want to see the manifest presence of God in your life and in your church? How many of you are really hungry for God to do something? Would you just stand and just come around this altar? We're going to sing right now. Just stand. Just come and stand in His presence. Just lift your hands. Come on, just lift your hands. Begin to love Him. Those of you pastors, people that pray, come on, feel free to move around. Feel free to lay your hands on someone. Feel free to pray a prayer of blessing and release of God's presence over them in Jesus' name. Come on, just move in closer. Move in closer. By your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' strong name. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Look at that. Cleo, come here, Cleo. Come here. You hadn't realized I hadn't seen my granddaughter since July. Come here, Cleo. I have nothing to do with you, bud. Cleo, right here. Somebody say continuous. If you'll take where you are right now, several of you have come out of your seat, several of you seeking God in your seat. Take where you are right now. You've heard a message about what? The presence of God. Don't you dare reduce it down to a Sunday morning experience. Don't. Tomorrow morning, get up 30 minutes earlier than you usually do. 30 minutes. You get up at 6, how about 5:30? Take your Bible, sit in a chair, open the Word, the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, you're fearfully, wonderfully made. Not a place you can go that I'm not there. Just remind yourself from His Word. Ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be released upon you. Release it upon me, Lord. Baptize me afresh. Pray in the Holy Ghost in your household. Nobody's listening. Pray in the Spirit. Release those tongues. You say, well, I don't pray in tongues. Well, you will, okay? You will. Just keep on praising God. Just praising God. God's going to fill you in the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to come to church and say, Pastor, you know what? Man, I never prayed in tongues before. But this week I was sitting in my house in my chair, just like you said. God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. My aunt called me up one day. Would you please stop by my house? I said, sure, Aunt Eunice. I'll be glad to. I stopped by her house. She said, I'm so scared. I've done something wrong. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, I love the Lord. I said, yes, I know you do. She said, well, I started praying yesterday in my bedroom. I was reading the Bible. And she said, stuff started coming out of my mouth. And she started crying. She said, did I do anything wrong? I said, no, ma'am. I started laughing. She said, why are you laughing? I said, you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? She's an old Wesleyan believer. But their church did not even believe and teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God supernaturally baptized her in the Holy Ghost. Well, I hear things come to my head. Shandalabakoramana. I'm afraid to say it. Don't be afraid to say it. You get to. Okay? Just pray, because when you pray those words, guess what? There ain't a devil in hell nowhere knows what you said. Okay? Can I just tell you the devil knows English? He does. Okay? He knows English real well. You say, oh, how do you figure that? You say something. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to do this. And then Monday he says, oh, you are you? Okay. The proclamations of your mouth will be tested. Okay. Let's believe God. Revival is something that you know, you schedule services, you invite an evangelist. We don't need that. We got everything we need right here in this house. In the room? Come on, man. In the room? We got everything we need right here in the room. God's already said that. We got everything we need right here in the room. Pastor Mike, come on to the platform. No apologies for the time today. What time is it? I don't care. 12:20. Oh, that's good. Just have a seat. Just give us a peek, 5 minutes, in somebody's life that's not like yours, okay? Somebody's life that's not like yours. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
The glory is here. The glory is here. But it doesn't have to stay here when you leave. It can certainly go with you. Look for it every day. Make it be continual. Now I'm an early riser. And the Lord's been getting me up even earlier. I mean, 5 o'clock was my time. 3:15 this morning. With somebody on my mind, in my heart. Expect God to use you the same way. Amen. Well, again, I have the honor and privilege of introducing a new missionary couple to Carpenter Shop Church. And Bonnie and I spent some time with them last night getting to know them. And yes, they are headed to Romania, hopefully in June. And they want to share this morning what God has put upon their heart. And I want you to be listening intently and see what the Holy Spirit says to you. So I'm going to ask Keith and Rachel regularly just to come on forward. Come on up. Welcome them like we welcome people in North, right here in Eastern North Carolina.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you, Pastor Philip. And we're here, and we spent the last 10 years at Cross Assembly in Raleigh, and it was about 4 or 5 years ago, our pastor stood up and he said, I want to tithe our congregation to the mission field. And so I said, Lord, if we can be among those, that group of people, we'll do it. And so life went on, and I was working, and we were serving in children's ministry and everything, and God started reminding me of that. And initially, I was pretty hesitant about that. And on our wedding day, we had a fatherly blessing, and our fathers came up and prayed for us, and her dad started speaking in tongues, and my dad gave an interpretation, and one of the things that was said was that we would be a blessing to the nations. So from that point on, I was thinking about missions. I was looking for that. It just kind of cued in on that. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, if you want to be a missionary, why don't you start witnessing to the people right here? And so I just started going around my neighborhood. I was going to the gas station, witnessing to the clerk, and coming up to people, asking them if they'd heard the good news, and going to the playground and inviting people to church and stuff. So, you know, just started doing that. And serving in church, and then 9 years later, you know, God said it's time, and I didn't quite believe it, but he let me know it was the real thing, and I thought it was maybe just, you know, youthful exuberance or, you know, Christian zeal, and he said, no, that was me. You can't take credit for that. We said yes. We sent some emails out on the pipeline AGWM to some missionaries, and they said, hey, we're looking for some children workers, and we see that you guys have experience in that, and so let's get in contact with them. We started Zoom calling them and that kind of thing, and so we said yes to them, and they invited us on the team, and they have a team there in Constanza. I think Rachel can share some about that.
Yeah, so as we've learned more about the ministry in Romania, we're so excited to be a part, because if you look up Romania, it's a Christian nation, but it's 80 to 90% say they're Orthodox Christian, but they don't know God. Some of them will look you in the face and say, I'm an Orthodox and I'm atheist. because they have not been taught the true God. They're not even encouraged to have a Bible of their own to read. And our missionary about 6 years ago was looking around the city of Constanza, where we'll be, and saying, God, there's all these people that are just not engaged with the church. They're not engaged with the gospel. How do we reach them? And God gave him the American Cafe, Business as Missions. He opened a cafe. And so people that are not engaged in the church now are coming into the cafe. And there's great coffee, there's great burgers and fries, and there's games so they can hang out. But as they're spending time there, they're building relationships with people that love Jesus. And they're like, wow, you guys have a lot of love that we haven't experienced before. What is this? And the answer is, this is the love of Christ. Come to our church and find out more. And so one man that is an atheist started coming to church. He's been coming to church for months, and it's hard ground because there's decades of false teaching. But his heart is softening to the Spirit. When we visited last March, that atheist put in a prayer request. He's trying this out. He wants to know more. And when we were there in March, so there was also a Muslim woman, because we're right on the Black Sea, so there's many immigrants from Turkey and from Crimea, Tatar. So there's Muslims in the area, but a Muslim woman was attending the church. And again, she said, I'm here because you guys have a lot of love, and I like it. And this is the love of Jesus. We can introduce you to him. And so we're so excited to be a part of that. And we get to do Love on the Kids and do kids church and kids sports clubs. And then we also have camp facilities. So we'll be doing kids camps and youth camps and just loving people and pointing them to Jesus. And we're so excited about that.
Yeah. So thank you for having us. And we're excited about this this journey that God's got us on. So these are our children. We have Selah and Kevin and Elijah. And say 8, 6, and 4. And they're gonna be missionaries too. And we're homeschooling them. We just started that this year, and so we're in new territory doing that. But they're starting to ask really good questions about God and the Bible, and I believe that they're gonna be able to reach the kids there.
I'm gonna let you go. All right, I'm going to let them slip out and get to their table in the back so you can greet them when you go out. We are sending 5 this time. 5. Think about what those 3 little guys are going through. They are sacrificing birthday parties, family gatherings, normal vacations. Maybe even missing the passing of a loved one. To take good news to somebody thousands of miles away, and they need your help. They have 70% of their in-hand cash, but they only about 40% of what they need in monthly donations. So I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit what you should do. And I leave it between you and him. But I will tell you this. I've learned it's dangerous to negotiate with the Holy Ghost. You will never win. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. Father, we thank you so much for Keith and Rachel and the commitment that they have made. And we want to be a blessing to them this morning. We want to be able to do what we've been doing and do more. And we trust you to meet their needs and then meet ours. So have your way in my life and the life of everyone here. And may everything we do bring you glory. And may others learn and know Jesus because of what each of us has done here today. We love you, Lord. We trust you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may bring your gift.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I want to thank you. Pastor Mike is the one who books our missionaries. I never met this couple till I walked in the door today. And I want to thank you for doing an excellent job, Pastor Mike, of connecting missionaries with this house. He and Bonnie get a chance to connect with these people, to hear their hearts. And would you give a round of appreciation to Pastor Mike and Bonnie for doing that? Praise God. Amen. I appreciate your giving today to missions. I appreciate your heart of reception to the message today on the presence of God. And I look with anticipation for God to do incredible things in the life of this church in 2023. Come on, give him praise today. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.